welcome to the Reality Revolution. It's a huge day on the podcast. We have Troy Casey, Certified Health Nut. And if you have got a chance to read my book, I mentioned Troy in my Qigong routine. And finally, I have a chance to speak to Troy. So welcome to the Reality Revolution, Troy.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I'm very grateful to be here, Brian.
Troy is committed to your health and to the world's health. And if you follow his YouTube channel, he has talked about everything from breath work to a variety of other topics. If you know anything about Troy, you know that he's dedicated and he sacrificed his body to find ways to improve his own health and comes from a very unique place. I cannot name or think of anybody that has sacrificed and worked as hard to transform his health than Troy. And I've learned so much. I've used a lot of the techniques that Troy teaches on his channel to improve my body, to improve my energy, to lose weight, a variety of things. And Troy comes from a very unique place. And there's no doubt, no matter what you think, he's dedicated to improving the world and improving your health. And so it's really awesome to have Troy on. So Troy, let's get into it a little bit. If anybody's watched your YouTube channels, you have these epic workout morning routines where you do breath work and everything. I want to go back because, you know, when you go back on the YouTube, there's old Troy with short hair. You went through a sort of transformation in your own health and your viewpoints, your spirituality. Talk to me about that road, that transition to where we have Troy Casey today.
Yeah. So, my meditation teacher used to say the only change in the universe is the only constant in the universe is change. We're all transforming. And another one of my mentors, Paul Check, says that the pain teacher is always guiding us. The question is, are we listening? Mm-hmm. And so through a series of life challenges that we all go through, me especially, my costume change, my beard and my hair, was really a product of my divorce. And, I was an actor and I was a model for many years, and I was living in Hollywood in the entertainment industry. I've been in front of the camera for 30 plus years. And so, I had that classic gentleman or classic look for so many years. And when I got a divorce, I kind of just let it all hang out. I was like, you know, whatever I'm doing is not working. And I stopped caring so much about my looks. You know, I used to prep, you know, weeks before I would have a photo shoot or a video shoot, and, making sure that I looked good or perfect. And I let all that stuff go. And I started making lots more content first thing in the morning when I wake up, and my beard just started growing. And I really liked the way it made me feel. My intuition really kicked in, and I continued to let it ride. And I think a lot of people on the internet, they write me and they're like, hey, what's with the beard? You know, you're going to make more money if you shave, you know? And I think that's just part of our conditioning, and the language of business is done with a suit with a noose around your neck. And I even studied with the great Joel Bauer, who trained Tony Robbins and the Wolf of Wall Street, Kevin Trudeau. And he was like, you know, people size you up in the first 3 seconds. And so the language of business is with a suit, and you let people focus on your face and what you're communicating. And I think there's tremendous value in that for the old paradigm and the old paradigm of doing business. When I started growing my beard out, he contacted me and said, hey, you know, you should shave too as well. And as time went on, my business really started to skyrocket. So everyone and their conditioning was like, you'll make more money, you'll get more women, blah, 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 blah. Nothing was further from the truth. And I just felt better. It just felt good to me. And then Joel Bauer, my business mentor, he called me and he said, you know what? This is really working for you. It's on brand. I encourage you to just keep going and doing your thing and letting it all hang out. And I say that because when I studied with him, and he's not a cheap date, I think it was $15,000 to take his initial course. Wow. And And it was all about the suit and the proper tie. He trained Donald Trump on the ties, and then Trump opened up a tie company. And if you look at the coronavirus task force, the first video that he made, he wore the pink tie. Donald Trump wore the pink tie on that press briefing. And the pink tie is to disarm women, or allow women to be more connected to you. And so I think there is some information in that technology, and I still wear the pink tie, but I have the beard now. And so if I go to a doctor's conference or somewhere else where people will take me seriously right off of the bat, if I'm dressed in the uniform of that profession. And so so that's the story of my hair, and I'm letting it hang out. And
well, people probably tend to underestimate you if they don't know about you when they see you, because just people judge by looks. And so it gives you an advantage. You know, they'll assume you're a certain kind of person. They don't realize how intelligent you are and where you're coming from. So you can use that to your advantage probably over time. Right.
Yeah. Well, especially now, the older I get, I'm 55 now, and the older I get, and people are looking for holistic health. They're looking for the truth, and they can see that, you know, obviously I've got white in my beard, and so they're more apt to digest the information that I'm giving them. When I was clean shaven, I looked a lot younger, and people were like, you know, do you have any scientific proof for, you know, sleep and water and organic nutrition? And, you know, my answer was always, you know, look at my tissues. But again, people just think that I was young and gifted genetically, and they didn't understand my full story. And now, yeah, with my age and with my gray hair and my beard, people are really open to listening to the ancient wisdom that I have studied.
So you've worked a long time, you've worked with a lot of mentors, and you've developed a sort of ritual every day. And so my first big question is, talk to me about your ritual. I like to steal rituals, but especially from you, because you've adapted and changed it and worked and added new elements. So when you wake up in the morning, you know, take me through your basic ritual through the day.
Yeah, well, I like to use the Bruce Lee quote. You know, he said, study with everyone, take what's useful, discard the rest, make it your own. Right. And I've studied so much, from breath work to, and actually I didn't study that much breath work. I just started practicing it while I was going through my divorce, waking up paranoid in the morning, depressed. And the breath work was what got me through the day. Mm-hmm. So breath work, juicing, my morning ritual is just to make sure that I feel good. Now I have a far infrared sauna, healing sanctuary right in my bedroom. So I can go in there. I took a hot Epsom salt bath with borax and baking soda today. And I also put some bitter herbs, some tobacco and sage in there. I work with ayahuasca shamans from Colombia. Mm-hmm. And they gave me these medicines. And so today, you know, I wake up. The number one thing I do is brush my teeth, get the bacteria out of it, and then hydrate. I put water down there. I also practice the ancient art of Shivambu, which is urine therapy. It's good for stem cells. It's good for antibodies, as well as amino acids. And it also has a component that activates your HGH. And so that's one of my longevity practices that I've been practicing for probably close to 17 years now. And so I'll hydrate with my own water, as well as fresh, clean water and minerals. Mm-hmm. And then depending on what type of, how my muscles feel, I'll either get out and start moving on the trails here in Sedona, or I'll get into a hot Epsom salt bath as I did this morning, or I'll go into my sauna. And from there, I will say my prayers. I've been going through a lot of challenges recently. You know, Sedona is a very beautiful place, but it will accelerate the light and the darkness. Mm-hmm. And so I've been working with the bunch of prayers that I have. I have Arnold Patton's Universal Principles from the 80s. They're different from his website now. I have the St. Teresa prayer, and I have Howard Will's Universal Prayers. And so I know that, you know, sound and vibration, it can impregnate and affect water and ultimately matter. And our brain is mostly matter. So I know that prayer, incantations, sending those vibrations out can help change the energy of what's going on with me. And ultimately, you know, it's all an inside job. Mm-hmm. When when we're having the challenges in our life, the universe is always working in our favor. And so I have to come correct with that. I have to bless and forgive myself and bless and forgive others that have harmed me or my perception of them harming me. Because if I carry that burden around, I'm not going to get anything done, you know? So, right. So that's the essence of my morning. I take some amino acids for my muscle. I have very effective amino acids to build muscle, whether I work out or not.
Now that's the, from Purium. I think I took that on your own recommendation. That's the amino 23.
Yeah. The super amino 23. Did you do the ultimate lifestyle transformation?
I just added that to the amino 23. And like you chew it, which is, you know, you taste it in the morning and it, you know, took me a little while to kind of get used to it, but I did notice a difference a little bit after a while, continuing with my workout and adding it to my, you take that before you eat, you chew those and.
Yes, I try and fast or calorie restricted fasting for as long as I can throughout the day, depending on my workout and my energy output. And so I like to work out fasted. It keeps my metabolism really strong. Mm-hmm. So I like to do the one meal a day. I don't do that every day, but most days I eat extremely light until I'm starving basically, or until I'm hungry. I really watch my blood sugar. And I've been fasting for 33 years. And so this is the fasting window that I have fallen into. And I really just honor my body moment to moment. But for the most part, I'll take the amino acids. I'll have a green juice soon after that. Also from the Purium, 2 scoops of water and I'm out the door. So a lot of the things I've been studying, have been produced in the pure and premium products of Purium. They're grown on organic soil. And so I can get a lot of my nutrients and my herbs. I'm off caffeine currently and I like it that way. It's better for my gut. It's better for my nervous system. I don't grind my teeth at night. And so, and I'm kind of an all or nothing guy. So if I'm on the caffeine, I'll have, one almost every day. And so I'm off caffeine right now. Maybe I'll have an herbal drink in the morning as well. And then I'm out the door and I do as many activities as I can until later on when I'm a little bit more hungry. I like to get out and move my body every day. I'm here in Sedona. I like to get barefoot in the ground. I like to get the sun on my body. So my life has become a daily ritual. And sometimes I watch inspiring things, but mainly the prayers, some form of quiet time and meditation, and sometimes getting out on the land. And people write me from all over the world. Look, I am not perfect. I don't do my perfect daily ritual every day. Mm-hmm. In fact, I practiced Vipassana meditation for 6 years religiously, and I sat 11 courses in silence, so 110 days in silence total. And I was beating myself up a lot if I didn't get my 2 hours a day, which is part of the practice. And I did that religiously for 6 years. And then I was getting angry and upset if I wasn't getting my 2 hours. And so I was guided intuitively to let that go, let that practice go, and really just feel my vibrations as much as I can, be as present as I can in my reality during the day. And I vacillated. Usually when I have more challenges and problems in my life, I get back to more prayer and meditation. And so I've just been working over the last 10 years to really find that balance of meditation and working. These Instagram and the cell phones, it's a powerful tool, and it can really stress the human body out. But I treat this like a meditation. I really go into the zone. It's part of my mission to communicate with people. Mm-hmm. And so I can turn anything into a meditation if I focus in it.
So I make this argument in my book that if you raise up enough energy, when you go into meditation, you can experience these quantum jumps and shifts in your reality. And I started to see a link from the amount of energy I brought into my meditation, meaning I do the Qigong beforehand. I'd have like this explosion of energy. And then, I'd visualize, I'd start to see these bizarre shifts in my reality. So I've always wanted to ask you about that, because you do breath work and energy work with your meditations. Have you seen crazy shifts in, after you've done these meditations? Have you experienced what I'm talking? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, well, you know, and people ask me about this on psychedelics and ayahuasca, and, you know, I'm not a real visual person.
Right.
I haven't had some of these phantasmagoria, like really powerful astral projections. I will say that in Sedona, you can drop into a very Zen state very quickly here. And so, you know, my meditation along when I was practicing Vipassana meditation, along with my ayahuasca ceremonies, they have not been a walk in the park.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of drudgery. And, you know, and through that training, I've been able to, you know, get more centered, get more balanced. You know, I had plenty of challenges when I was growing up. I was in the modeling world. I did a lot of drugs and alcohol and partying. And, and so, you know, I think I'm addicted to the polypeptides of excitement.
Right.
You know, it's not exciting. And so when I sit down to meditation, it's not like I go out into the ethers. It's like I have to deal with myself and my vibration. So I haven't had those angelic experiences in my meditation. Yes, I've had some, and I've had some glimpses of it. But mainly it's just really been a bit arduous for me. And so that's why I like the intense breath work, because that really shifts your brain chemistry. I like the ice baths and the cold water. That was the other thing that I in my morning ritual, I like to wake up out of the covers and get into a cold shower. That really centers and focuses me each day. If I have an ice bath around me, I'll jump into that as well. And then that, you know, that activates the mitochondria of the cells, turns on your 75 trillion cells in the body. And it really helps. And I think people, they're into the dramatic element of the ice bath. And so am I, of course, because I'm a media creator. but a cold shower is enough. You know, a cold shower straight out of the warm covers in the morning, that's enough to get the mitochondria functioning, get your metabolism accelerated, and get the blood flow, the chi moving, really. So those are, you know, some of my practices. And the ice bath or the cold shower and being Zen in the cold shower, that's a huge meditation within itself as well.
So you actually traveled to the Amazon and, you know, got a chance to work with indigenous tribes. I'd love to get your story or behind that and what you learned from some indigenous tribes and your experiences in the Amazon.
Yeah, so so I worked with an herbal company starting in 2005. Before that, I started working with Maori healers right around the same time I was meditating. And so I instantly recognized an intelligence around ancestral healing and, you know, ancient wisdom. There was a groundedness, there was, so with the Maori healers, you know, I really resonated with working with them, with the purity of their practices and their teachings. And again, they don't speak in, you know, indigenous people, they don't speak too much. They'll give you a hint towards something. It's the Western mind that goes on and on and has to understand and know everything. And so so I had an affinity working with the Maori. I witnessed many miracles, my own miracle. I witnessed exorcisms. And so when I got connected through the Amazon Herb Company to the Shipibo Indians in the Amazon, they were our partners. They were our vendors. They would harvest these plants for us and we'd bring them to market. And I went down, I won a trip in 2006, and I went down to the Amazon and experienced the ayahuasca. And I had, you know, very powerful visions. But more than that, I was ensconced with the energy of the chanting. And if you go back to my YouTube channel in 2006, 2007, 2008, I put a lot of the Icaros, the ayahuasqueros songs that they chant in ceremony. And it really activated me to a higher level of consciousness. And more peace and harmony and understanding of our connection to nature. And it was really a general sense of knowing. And I found an incredible songbird down there. Her name was Elisa Vargas Fernandez. And her songs just made me cry. They made me weep. And I brought her into ceremony at Shamanic Healing Center I've been working with for a long time, called Refugio Altiplano. It's the definition is high plane refuge in Spanish, refugioaltiplano.com. I worked with them for many years, and I would bring her up. She was in Pucallpa, Peru, where our facility was for the herbs. And I would bring her up to Iquitos, and she would sing in ceremony for my groups that I would bring down there. And it changed my life. And there's one video where I'm actually laying on the ground and she was singing into my head. And you can feel the frequency and vibration of that. The reason I brought those songs out there is those, the frequency and vibration of them will lift your frequency and vibration. And so my objective was to get those out into the world. And since then, Simon Rex cut my jingle for my YouTube channel, and he mixed hip hop beats with her chanting. And then I'm in hot yoga here in Sedona a couple of months ago, and I'm in Shavasana, and this kind of dance trance music comes on, and it's my very first recording of Elisa. And so somebody took it off the internet, and this is what I wanted, you know? Right. No need to do a copyright strike. This is the medicine getting out to the people. And I was just sitting there crying, and I was so glad, because, you know, when things go haywire in the world as they are today, man goes back to the origins, and ayahuasca is the origins.
Now, I get the idea from a lot of your YouTube videos that you felt in your heart like a concern about this planet. And you felt you had a vision where we're going to overcome this. We're going to overcome everything. And you're very passionate about this vision that you had. I wanted to get more detail about you saw something that gave you hope for this planet, that we could move through a shift and come out the other side. So tell me a little more about what you were talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. So I had three very profound visions 2006 when I went to the Amazon the first time. Mm-hmm. The first one was an amalgamation of my on-camera career. I was doing stand-up comedy at the time, and I'd been studying natural medicine since I've been in front of the camera, fasting, juicing, internal purification, herbs, and that coalesced into the idea of certified health nut, and I laughed out loud right there in the jungle. And so, and that was 15 years ago, and that's been unfolding ever since. The second vision that I had was a feminine spirit came to me. And I realized later on that was the spirit of my daughter. I wasn't married. I wasn't in a relationship. And I came home and I started, you know, interviewing the women that were in my life and seeing, you know, if they wanted to start a family. And of course, I found my ex-wife, and we became friends, and she actually needed a green card at the time. And we just kept our friendship going, and I helped her out with that. And from there we fell in love, and we had my first son, and my daughter was born 4 years later, 4 years after I had the vision. And since then I brought her back to the Amazon. Again, those videos are all on my YouTube channel. And yeah, so these are, you know, ayahuasca is not just a psychedelic get high trip. This is powerful spiritual medicine. And ayahuasca is only a small percentage, 30 to 50% of the work. We have to, you know, take that in, integrate it into our lives. You know, I tell people, don't quit your day job. Don't get a divorce right after that. You know, integrate it, really see where you're at, and then start moving in the direction of your dreams. And the final vision or dream that I had is that humanity makes it. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very clear vision of where we're at right now with the industrial age and the precipice of ecological disaster that we find ourselves at. And working in the Amazon, I saw, you know, all the nonprofits lambasting the for-profit companies. The fact of the matter is we've got to come to our solutions holistically. We can't rob Paul to pay Peter. That's going to create deficits no matter what. And so we need solutions that are far outside of the box. Einstein said you can't solve a problem at the same level of mind that created it. Mm-hmm. And working in the Amazon, I saw that oil exploration was the number one deforestation component. From there, they would cut the roads and then fell the big trees, sell those to the lumber companies, and then they would burn the bush and cash crops, anything from coca leaves and chocolate to coffee, and of course, Burger King genetically engineered soybeans that they feed to the cattle, or corn. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the way of the world, and I coupled that with John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, who had drank ayahuasca mm-hmm. before he started working with the World Bank. And then he was working with a subsidiary of the World Bank, and he realized that they would put economic pressures on places like Panama, Ecuador, if they would not give up their natural resources. Or the synopsis of that book is that the military-industrial complex or the elite, whatever systems, corporate systems that are running the planet, they will get, they will do these bank loans from the World Bank or the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and they'll give these loans to third world countries, mm-hmm. and then Halliburton and Bechtel, these American corporations, will come in and build infrastructure, roads, dams, wires for electricity, infrastructure. And then what they do is they say, okay, pay back the loans. It's like, they didn't have the money in the first place. And so how do you get the money out of them? Oh, that's fine. Just give us your natural resources and give us slave labor to pull it out. Like, we'll pay them pennies to the day and get them to mine the gold, mine the tungsten, go after the oil, et cetera, et cetera. And so when governments wouldn't play this game, then they would send in the coup d'etats or the mercenaries. And if they couldn't get at them, like I think Chavez was one of them, Ecuador was another one, Panama, look what happened to Noriega. When you stop playing the machine's games, what was his name? Idi Amin back in Africa back in the 70s. When you stop playing the machine's games, they're just going to go in there, and if the coup d'etat doesn't work, and you see what happened in Rwanda, who bought all those machetes for the warring factions? Mm-hmm. And this is a good point for what's going on in our world today with the race baiting, with the fight against men, against women, the toxic masculinity, all of that stuff. This is classic divide and conquer. And so just look up, watch the movie Hotel Rwanda. Who funded both sides of the war? Who has always funded both sides of the war since Napoleon? Well, you start to look at the central bankers and those who control money. So coming out of the Amazon and seeing how the world works and really understanding it and desiring change fundamentally and holistically and sustainably for all, I realized that oil and the petrodollar money is what's holding us back. And I see that in the spiritual community, even here in Sedona. There is so much competition, jealousy, and envy mm-hmm. that will eat away at the fabric of this community. In fact, I see it, it's evident here right now. And you're seeing all this race baiting all over the internet right now. Not that there aren't jerks and assholes out there, and there's not, and not that there hasn't been people that have committed crimes, criminals, right? Mm-hmm. But the level of hatred and disdain for one each other, I don't believe that that's in the heart of man. I don't mm-hmm. believe it whatsoever. I believe that mankind has been impregnated with brain viruses, mimetic viruses, ideas with values attached to them. And so, and of course, you're seeing this propagated all over the news. I don't watch the news, and check inside of your heart of the truth that you have in your heart. I've been accused of white privilege and all sorts of racism in the last year. And nothing could be further from the truth. I have a mixed race family. And I will bring anyone on my platform that wants to question me on that mm-hmm. level.
Well, part of it could be just, it appears there's a natural increase in empathy in the world itself. And it's sort of a natural byproduct. People are manipulating that empathy a little bit. Go back 10 years, people didn't have the same empathy. They see something on the news and it's, but now people are seeing themselves in others. And so there's sort of manipulation going on, but part of it I see is just a natural byproduct of sort of an increase in empathy overall, just by the whole world. It might end up being incorrect or manipulated or wrong, but part of it, do you think, could be a result of that?
Well, in my spiritual studies, I have realized at the heart level, we all want peace. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that altruism exists in the heart of man. And I am here. It's been prophesized a long time ago that the red man, the yellow man, the white man, and the black man would come back around the fire. I believe that time is here, and I am here to reunite the brotherhood of man. Mm-hmm. And I sit ceremony with all sorts of races and colors. And again, there is no malice in my heart whatsoever. I don't judge people on the color of their skin. I judge them on their character, on their vibration of how they're coming at me. And the empathy, I do believe, is in all of us. I do believe at the heart of man that everyone is altruistic and that wants to help and that desires peace. Now, I will preface that with, I believe the psychological studies is that about 6% of the population has the propensity or the wherewithal to be a psychopath. The definition of a psychopath is one who enjoys the pain of others. Mm-hmm. And so, so there's always anomalies, but at the end, I think that we all have a heart of gold inside of us.
Now, since you moved to Sedona, you've been doing work with men out in Sedona. You know, so tell me a little bit more about that.
So I've been doing men's work for 5 years, mainly in the desert. I started doing it in Joshua Tree about 5 years ago. And then one of my friends drank ayahuasca in New York City. He was a real estate, commercial real estate guy. He was a hustler. Mm-hmm. And at 27, you know, he had plenty of, you know, issues from his upbringing. And he had the money, he had the women, he had the drugs, but he wasn't happy. And somebody turned him on to ayahuasca, and he drank ayahuasca, and he began to wake up. And there was no group of people where he could really download and integrate the information that he had. And the thing about men's work is when there's no females around, men can be much more vulnerable. And the fire element is transformative. It has an element of transmutation. And so just sitting around the fire with your other brothers and sharing what's on our hearts, because we live in this society where, you know, drinking alcohol and going to sports events and high five on emotional elements that are outside of ourselves, like maybe a team winning or, you know, fighting, et cetera, boxing. And not that there's anything, you know, necessarily wrong with that. It's communion with men, but that's kind of our go-to. It's like our self-medication is Oxycontin and alcohol, you know, whatever pharmaceutical drugs we can get our hands on, and or illicit drugs, right? Cocaine and other illicit drugs. And so these are kind of our outlets as men. And what I realized working with men is men are very simple. If we can just get some things off of our chest, we feel much better. And we can go out and do the job that we're here to do. And men, you know, they need a good direction, purpose, their dream, their legacy. A purpose-driven life will keep them on track. But most people are programmed by the head. And I put this in my book in the very first chapter, you know, Ripped at 50, because your purpose, your dream, your legacy is the most important. Because men are like an arrow, and wherever they're directed, they can cut through the fabric of reality, like the Wright brothers wanting to fly like an eagle, or like my friend Robbie Madison, the supercross champion of the world, he jumped Caesar's Palace. You know, many of these extreme athletes, they can focus their mind. And if a man's mind is not focused and it's only focused on chasing paper, because that was what I was trained in, you know, sit down, shut up, you'll get a good job, a good college degree, and then you'll get a good job. And nothing has been further from the truth, especially after we saw the housing crisis get rid of everyone's savings and investments. And, you know, man needs purpose, and it's not based on just how am I going to make money. It's really on what the heart desires. And if you've studied success at all, it's what your effortless genius is. What do you love to do? And giving yourself permission and poetic license to go out there and do what you love, or as Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. But we don't have the training. In fact, we have 12 years of indoctrination to fit your square peg in the round hole cog of the wheel of the corporation. And so, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I had to retrain myself on so many different levels to go out there and make sure that my dream is actually feeding myself and my family. It's taking care of me. So I think that's very important. And that's one of the things I provide in my men's work. The most important part of my work is helping men focus on their legacy and giving them poetic license and permission to do that which they love. And so with that, and no females around, because I did bring a woman sexual kung fu teacher or sacred sexuality teacher, and it was all the men started peacocking. We brought them in on her on a Saturday, and it just messed up the whole retreat. And so, and she was getting off on it, and the guys were all trying to, you know, get in sideways and, you know, trying to connect with her, you know, and it was just a shit show. And I just realized it was just all ego. And if I can take that element out, the tears start falling. And when the tears start falling, men start feeling better. They let go of the cross that they're bearing. And of course, what do we deal with? Men wronging women, women wronging men, right? Men acting out of balance and being violent, just taking that violence in on themselves with alcohol and drugs, and really, you know, taking these problems on and just keeping them for life, and it eats away at their soul. And then they don't have the ability to give their gifts. And so when I can clear this up just on any level, men can start moving in the direction of their heart's desire, and we can really, you know, change the world. I also teach nutrition and all my holistic health stuff as well. Usually when we do a fire circle, we'll do breath work to clear the mind. We'll do some gentle movement. Rudy Ray's four-time Marine Recon war hero. He comes in there. He likes to teach Qigong. He's been doing Kung Fu since he was four. So he'll teach some basic hand-to-hand combat, and he will also teach his version of Qigong, which is very powerful. And he moved to Los Angeles because he was missing the brotherhood after he was out of the war machine. And so that, and we do ice baths, and then of course the fire is very transformative as well. And after that, you know, we send men out on their way. They feel better, and I attract a lot of fit, strong men that are just lost with a little bit of direction, and I can point them in the right direction. My target, though, is the 55-year-old or the people that are my age that are executives making decisions that are antithetical to life itself on earth, whether it's in advertising, big business, and so banking. My target is that group, and they are the ones that are most in need, and they watch me on the periphery, write me in on LinkedIn, come in for privates, et cetera, et cetera. And so for me, that is my target, is men my age that are living out of balance and making huge decisions for the rest of the world.
Changing the world one man at a time. It is obviously, as a male, expressing my emotion, feeling my emotion, and the shame for having emotion, being taught from my father when I was young, you know, don't show emotion, don't cry. Those are things that have blocked my success until I came to the realization I needed to confront this part of me. And it didn't undermine my own masculinity or ego to confront those emotional things. So what you're doing is really important, especially going back to your vision. A bunch of men in executive positions are, you know, those are people that if they find their passion, they'll change the world too. So what you're doing is fantastic. You also work with Paul Keck. You've done some work with him. I wanted to get an idea of, it's the Keck Institute, right?
The Czech Institute.
Paul Czech. Yeah.
So he wrote the foreword to my book. He's mm-hmm. been in business, I think, almost 40 years now. He's the one who brought the Swiss balls into sports function, sports fitness.
Mm-hmm.
He's rehabbed more medically retired athletes to the tune of multi-million dollar careers than anyone on the face of the planet. Governments will call him with Olympic athletes that no doctors or anyone can figure out. And they will call Paul Cech. And usually he can handle a lot of the business right on the phone because he can intuitively pinpoint. And then his knowledge base of the human body is parallel to none I know of else on the planet. His programs take about 7.5 years to get through complete. I think it's basically like a doctorate degree. So he's got all the physical, all the holistic, all the nutrition. And then he has, you know, ways to assess the human body. So he trained me and he's rehabbed and helped. He rehabbed Danny Way from a broken neck in 94. You can watch the movie Waiting for Lightning on Danny Way's life. Mm-hmm. And Paul's a big part of that movie. The doctor said that Danny would never walk again. And 4 months later, he walked out of the Czech Institute and broke the world record. Wow. Excuse me. And he's been breaking world records ever since. He's an X Games participant. You can follow him on Instagram, doing a lot of the exercises. I think he's approaching 50 now that Paul taught him on the Swiss ball for core function. So everything around core function and how the body functions from the core outward is Paul Cech. And everything that you see in the gym that's functional, kettlebells, all that stuff. Now, obviously the Russians were on it a long time ago, but Paul brought all that to the West. And so everything that you see in functional fitness in the gyms today was pioneered by Paul in the last 30 years. He helped Laird Hamilton with his hip replacement. I know he coaches Laird, many celebrities. He worked on Kobe's Achilles, one of his last injuries. Mm-hmm. And the list goes on of how many, you know, sports celebrities and celebrities that he has worked on. But I would say Danny Way, Robbie Madison was sent home to die, never ride a motorcycle again. The motorcycle fell on him at the X Games 2012 and was millimeters from his aorta, and the doctors didn't know what to do. Paul got his hands on him, did some gentle Qigong with him, boom, rib popped out. And Robbie's been breaking world records ever since, you know? And so, Paul's the man, literally. And he's got a program called PPS, which is Personal, Professional, and Spiritual Mastery. And so he's good in business. He's a well-known shaman in his own right. I know he's got a Native American license as a tobacco shaman. You know, he's an ayahuasquero in his own right as well. Paul is the real deal. And because he's very muscular and very effective with his word game, you know, people just write him off as just this testosterone guy. But Paul is the most balanced, or one of the most balanced human beings that I know. And I don't know anyone else mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, business, personal, that's been able to pull off the level of success that he has. He's very balanced, and you can still deadlift 450 pounds at age 60.
Oh, wow. So I got to talk to you about psychedelics. You know, it changed my life. I'm just dipping my toe. I'm not swimming. But it still, my experiences with LSD were just as transformative as DMT. But all of them have taught me lessons, and I've had so many unique experiences. The beings that you communicate or see when you're in these experiences, what is your take on that?
Well, you know, and people ask me, Brian, they ask me, you know, what do you think about the aliens? What do you think about flat Earth? Right. And some things, you know, I'm too busy trying to stay present in the present moment, keep myself healthy, keep my children happy,
right,
keep my business going. You know, I haven't had those big angelic experiences.
Right.
I haven't had these, you know, aliens do psychic surgery on me. It hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been that type of visual for me. I get messages in the form of knowings that come inside my heart. And then I don't argue with it, right?
When
I
get that. It feels like there's a presence though. There's a larger living presence that you're accessing beyond just the visuals and the feelings in your body, right? If it feels to me like I'm in a place where I can access an interchange with some other living being, multiple beings, but there's something else going on. People have their own theories, right? So,
yeah. So the one being I like to connect to is God itself. Mm-hmm. And 5-MeO DMT, I experienced that and I became the sum total of the all. Mm-hmm. And so we are the essence and presence of God. We're like the drop in the ocean, right? Wave comes up, there's all sorts of mist, right? You can't really separate the drops from the ocean. Mm-hmm. You know, they're there, right? It's all connected. And so doing the 5-MeO DMT for my experience, again, I can only talk about my experience, my filters, and my experience. So I became the sum total of the all. It was somewhat of a visual, but it was more of a sound. It was more a hum of the universe. Mm-hmm. So that's my experience on 5-MeO DMT. And again, it's very challenging to explain the ineffable.
Yeah. It is.
With ayahuasca, when I was in the jungle the very first time, I felt like the mother ayahuasca, the spirit of ayahuasca, was like a giant mother snake climbing through your intestines, your nervous system, just going, come on, honey, you know, what's wrong? Just let it out, let it out. And it was an anaconda. That was the visual, the knowing, the experience that I had from it. Now I have friends that have been taken on alien ships and, you know, shown the universe and this and that. That's not my own personal experience. I can only talk from my own experience. So as far as the spiritual goes, those are two of the spiritual forces that I have recognized. I've also seen fairies, little fairies in my ceremonies as well. And they look exactly like, you know, the Disney fairies or Tinkerbell or whatever. And so, and again, that might just be through my own programming and filter, right? And so, the thing that I like about the psychedelics is it lowers the veils, so our perception can be much more broad. Mm-hmm. And again, I have a thick skull, so it's not like I just take the medicines and then woo, see the angels, or see these incredible visions. I've had to go through a lot of hell.
Yeah. I get that. And it's transformative. A lot of people say they go through the same hell, but then when they come out the other end, it's transformative. They're happy that they went through it. At least the people that I have talked to and researched. But I wanted to, since I have you on, how do you deal with me? I'm the guy that grew up. My dad was on a ranch. We ate a lot of beef, eat a lot of fast food. And it's almost like an addiction. I know in my mind that I need to eat well, but then there's a physical addiction to this terrible processed foods. And it's been a constant battle in my life. Do I need to detoxify? Do I need to hit? How do I overcome that and start eating like Troy Casey?
Well, first and foremost, the body naturally detoxifies itself if it has the proper environment and the proper nutrition. So the conversation, Brian, goes around quality of food, not the secret diet paradigm for weight loss or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so quality is everything. We are designed to eat food that has been grown in the earth with microbes and powerful soil, the humic and fulvic acids, real soil. Mm-hmm. And if you look at soil science today, the soil has been depleted. So you want the highest quality food that you can afford. And I like to say that you either pay now or pay later. You pay the farmer or you pay the doctor. Mm-hmm. It is your choice. You are replicating your tissues completely every 7 years, but definitely every day, because it takes 120 days to rebuild your red blood cells. And it takes 6 to 9 months to regenerate your organs, depending upon what you feed it. And we have mm-hmm. two pumps and we have two filters. So the two pumps are your heart and your lymph. Mm-hmm. The pump for your lymph is your transverse abdominis, your diaphragm, and your pelvic floor. That is the pump for the lymph. The lymph is your interstitial fluid. It pumps your interstitial fluid, the waters of the body. And a stagnant body of water turns into a cesspool. And so the body is required to move. Exercise is a necessity, not a luxury. The body is designed to move every single day. And so the number one exercise that I recommend for people, because most people are stressed out and high intensity exercise is more stress, elevated cortisol will store fat, shut down digestion, and chronic elevated cortisol will break the body down, give you inflammation, and then a disease. So we always want to manage the seven factors of stress. I put that in my book as well. Movement as medicine. The way the human being is designed to move through time and space is walking. We are designed to walk, or what's called gait, which is run, walk, sprint. If people would just get into an exercise program of walking, I would say 50 minutes, five times a week minimum, mm-hmm. to just get very consistent on that, it's going to build the muscle fibers that are going to burn sugar more efficiently. You throw on top of that organic pure food and your body is going to naturally just get rid of the weight. You also have to have high quality water, which is important for your nutrition as well. And so when it comes to the food, it's the quality of the food. Then you start tapping into your intuition. What does the body desire? Mm-hmm. We've been hunter-gatherers for millennia, right? Hundreds of thousands of years. How did we get our food? What was available? A little bit of this, a little bit of that, some big game. When do we eat the big game? Well, if we didn't have a good hunt, we might not eat 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, right? Maybe the harvest. Maybe there was too much snow on the ground. Maybe we didn't eat for a month. Look at the Hunzas. Hunzas live in the Himalayas, and they are some of the centurions. They fast for about a month out of the year. They eat very light, whatever herbs or maybe some yak butter, whatever is available, and they go into calorie-restricted fasting the last month of the winter season. And so this was built into our biology. How do you fatten up an animal to bring it to market? You feed it grain. Lo and behold, Kellogg's and General Mills, they did all these research on grain healthy diets and vegetable oils. I think the arteriosclerosis and the gumming up of the tissue and the arthritis is all coming from the misuse of vegetables and vegetable oils. Also, you look at the history of plants. Plants have phytic acid. Phytic acids are enzyme inhibitors. They'll shut your digestion down. So what's nature's first law is self-preservation. A seed is going to have a protective element. So it goes through the bear's body or the human's body. It gets pooped out. It germinates. It grows, right? So this is part of nature. It's a good idea to study basic biology and the closed organic cycle. I'll explain it to you right here. It's very simple. You've got energy from the sun that comes down that's converted through photosynthesis into plants. It creates chlorophyll, which is plant blood. Chlorophyll is an exact match to your hemoglobin, which is human blood. The herbivores eat the plants, and then the omnivores eat the herbivores, and then the plants, and then everybody dies and is broken down by the fungus, molds, bacteria, and other host organisms, and they put those nutrients into the soil, which is uptake by the plants, and plants are highly carnivorous. Please study this. Don't take mm-hmm. my word for it. This is the closed organic cycle. And so when we understand that, and then we see what's available without going neurotic. If you're starving to death and your blood sugar's all wonky and you're me and you're walking through an airport where there's almost no high quality food there, and there's a you know, a restaurant that maybe has chicken wings and it's not organic, and maybe they feed them GMO soy and corn. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, if my blood sugar is wonky and I start getting hangry, start losing my cool, get kicked off the plane or get into fist fights, it's better for me to just have some chicken wings, see if I can get some kind of nutrients down there, stabilize my blood sugar, because the three main primary hormonal pathways are insulin, cortisol, and adrenaline. And when those go off, everything else goes off. So it's very important to keep your blood sugar balanced. And again, not being neurotic about food. So again, quality of food, and then rotate everything. If you're sick and you're that sick, or you have fungal infections or eczema or psoriasis, which are very hard skin issues, anything skin related is directly related to the gut microbiome. And lo and behold, in 1983, they allowed glyphosate on the market. It's got three patents. It's a desiccant, so it helps the wheat plants dry out, so the tractors don't have to work so hard for it. It's an herbicide, and it's also used for farm irrigation equipment because it chelates minerals out of the body. So just imagine what that desiccant, mineral chelator, and herbicide does to the little microbes that are inside your gut. And lo and behold, that's why men have beer bellies that don't drink beer, because mm-hmm. their gut microbiome has been compromised. And so we have to get back to basics, find out what natural foods are. I had to get into juicing because I had all sorts of digestive problems, and pre-digested juice, vitamin, mineral rich nutrients that were bioavailable instantly, they were able to absorb into my body. And I got results from that. And so my advice out there is really, you know, study these basic principles, the closed organic cycle, the gut microbiome. And then if you need help, I work with a company that's been around for 27 years. We own farmland in Utah. We grow heirloom seeds of wheatgrass. We have spirulina. We have herb farms that we've been working with for a very long time. So we have formulas and a program, a 30-day program to clean out your gut. My average client loses 25 pounds in the first month. Mm-hmm. And then we encourage them to keep going. We have a formula called Biomedic. It was taken off the farmland from the 50s. It was a recipe that these farmers would give their animals that would get sick, to heal their gut. And so we've been approved by the Detox Project. And again, source your supplements and your superfoods and your organic nutrition to the nth degree. Find out the best that you can. The final litmus test is not the organic certification on there. The final litmus test is when it goes down your body and how you feel. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't feel right, avoid that. Keep rotating everything till you know what feels right. Take 72 hours to go through the digestive tract. So you want to rotate your chicken, and eggs are chicken, right? So you don't want to be eating eggs every day. So you want to rotate these things. I recommend most people get off gluten and dairy for 60 days and then retest it. You'll know if you get a food hangover, exactly, it's the gluten or the glyphosate, which is sprayed all over the wheat. And then with dairy, source raw dairy from a high quality organic farmer. And then retest it there. Most people aren't lactose intolerant. They are, the food has been pasteurized, and the definition of pasteurized is to kill all the life. So there's no enzymes in it. Try raw milk and see if you're lactose intolerant. When you pasteurize something, there's no living enzymes. So basically what you're going to just be getting is sugar. And lo and behold, what is lactose? It is sugar. And so people are sensitive to this. And so I have a 36-minute video on my diet playlist on my YouTube channel. I highly recommend watching that because it has many of these nuances and caveats in nutrition. And we've also been infected with a brain virus, so we're simply confused. Mm-hmm. Milk is Good Food is one of the best advertising companies, advertising campaigns on the face of the planet. And pasteurized, homogenized milk fed GMO corn and soy is no bueno for the human being. And lo and behold, what are the results? 70% of the American people are obese or overweight, higher in Hispanic communities, and I think it's 80% in African-American communities. So where is the real racism here? You know, it's the bottom line is we are being subjugated as humans. And if you don't understand that, I recommend you read the Agenda 21 by the UN, And the World Economic Forum released the Great Reset, the COVID-19. These are not conspiracy theories. And read the Georgia Guidestones. The people that wrote that in stone want to reduce the population to 500 million. This is not a conspiracy theory. It's written in stone. It's time to wake up. This is a clarion call to your heart and soul from Troy Casey. It is time to wake up. Stop sleeping. Stop giving your dominion over to others.
Troy, thank you so much for coming on. It's been such a joy. Everybody needs to check out your book, Ripped at 50. And you can also find your website, troycasey.com. I have the links for the YouTube channel and the website in the description. Check out Troy. If you're like me, I've been doing the Zen swing every day because of Troy, and it has totally changed just that one thing. I used to be, you know, go in and lift as heavy a weight as I possibly could. And Troy changed the way I looked at exercise, and my body feels better. And it gets better every day. And I want to thank you for that, Troy. Thank you for changing my life and changing my body. And check out your YouTube channel. Everybody needs to check it out. And you can change your body too. There's incredible breath work. We didn't even get into all the different Qigong exercises. There's so much more material that you'll find there. But in any case, thank you so much for coming on. And welcome to the Reality Revolution, Troy.
Thank you so much, Brian.
We return you now to your local announcer.